Good morning. This meeting is now in session. My name is Angela Ryder. I am the chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy. It is Monday, March 27, 2023 at 9 a.m. and I'm calling this meeting to order. Folks on this video conference, please make sure you are muted until it is your opportunity to speak or you've been called upon to eliminate distractions of background noise. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except for public hearings set forth for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. And I see Ms. DeRoost has joined us. Thank you for being here. Let's call roll first. Mr. Augerton, could you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott?
Present.
Board Member DeRoost?
Present.
Vice Chair Moon?
Present.
Chair Ryder?
Present.
We're present, one vacant.
Thank you, Mr. Augerton. Before we move on, I'd like to first of all congratulate Seamus Monahan for being promoted and scooped up by the private sector. On behalf of all the board members and staff, we wish him the best of luck and want to publicly thank him for his guidance and wisdom that he's shared with this board. Joining us today from the Attorney General's office is Assistant Attorney General Jean Galvin. Jean, thank you for joining us and providing the board with your legal expertise.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Agenda item number three is our call to public pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H. The board may make an open call to meet the public during the public meeting, subject to a reasonable time. The cutoff time is 2 minutes and will be timed by the board staff. Place, manner, and restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issues that are within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public, unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Be advised that call to public is not an opportunity for testimony for cases that are being reviewed by the board. And again, it must be within the jurisdiction of the public body. So be sure that you understand what the board can and cannot do by reviewing the Arizona rules and statutes from the board website. Do we have a call to public? Ms. Cordero, I see that you have your hand up first. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Michelle Cordero, Director of Education, ASAS Massage Education. I would like to request the board consider amending Rule R4-15-301, Required Continuing Education Hours, specifically Section B that states, a licensee may complete a maximum of 12 continuing education hours from a distance learning format to satisfy the requirement in subsection A. This rule was written many years ago before the advancement of continuing education course delivery. It is also not in line with the way the National Certification Board for Therapeutic Massage and Body Work, or NCBTMB, currently classifies the types of approved continuing education. NCB approves three types of CE courses and also requires that completion certificates must display the course type. The types are live course, home study, and live webinar. Live courses and webinars must meet the same standards set forth by NCBTMB. The way the Arizona Administrative Code currently reads, distance learning format does not distinguish between courses that are completed at home at the therapist's own time and pace without an instructor present, this is a home study, and those that are taken via live video conference requiring the active participation of each attendee with an instructor present, this is a live webinar. With the pandemic resulting in educators finding more ways to deliver instruction, we have seen many advancements in online synchronous education. I request that the board consider allowing live webinar courses to be accepted as live CE hours and not categorized as distance learning. So I suggest rewording rule R4-15-301, section B, changing distance to home study so that the rule states a licensee may complete a maximum of 12 continuing education hours from a home study learning format to satisfy the requirement in subsection A. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and consideration.
Thank you, Michelle. And next hand that we have up is Five Alive. Please go ahead and unmute.
Hi, this is Stephanie Chiefrey. Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. I'm Stephanie Chiefrey, applying for a massage therapy license. And there is a felony on my record from 2001. I have spoken to Deputy David Ellison, and he let me know that I need to speak to the board and let you know what happened.
Okay, Stephanie, so I am going to stop you just for 1 minute because we do have you on our agenda. And so when we get to your case, we will have an opportunity to hear your testimony.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other calls to public? And it looks like we do not, so we will move on to the next agenda item, number 4. Board members should have had an opportunity to review the board packet sent out today by staff. Are there any conflicts of interest regarding any of the cases or investigative reviews that we are conducting today? All right. Agenda item number 5. We received open meeting minutes to review separate from the packet for our meeting in February, including February 6th, 2023, and February 27th, 2023. Are there any questions or discussions to be had regarding these open meeting minutes? Well, we're just moving right along then. I move to accept the open meeting minutes from February 6th, 2023, and February 27, 2023. May I have a second?
This is Board Member Duris, and I'll second that motion. Thanks.
Can we do a roll call vote, please, Mr. Auberton?
Yes, Chair. Board Member Duris?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Abstaining.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
3 ayes. 1 abstention, and 1 vacant.
And the motion passes. The meeting minutes have been accepted February 6th, 2023, February 27th, 2023. I'm going to change the order a little bit in our agenda. We're going to move to agenda item number 7, we're going to move into the investigative reviews. So upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. Our first investigative review is case number 22-285, Christopher Estein, licensed massage therapist, 24771. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time. It is not a hearing. I'd first like to ask if Mr. Christopher Estein is present in this meeting, and if so, if you are represented by any counsel. And it appears that he is not. Investigator David Elson, this case was brought before us last month. would you please inform the board members and the public a review and summary of the complaint against Christopher Esteen, including why we had to move this case to this month?
Yes, Madam Chair. On December 17, 2022, board staff received a complaint from Goodyear Police Department detective and disclosed that respondent was about to be arrested for sexual abuse and sexual assault and inquired if the board had received any complaints on respondent. The board had not received any complaints, but his notification generated a complaint. And according to Goodyear Police Department, on September 20th, 2022, respondent groped victim one's breast during the course of massage at Backfit Health and Spine in Goodyear, for which the respondent was arrested and charged with one count of sexual abuse. Then next, according to Goodyear Police Department, on December 13th, 2022, respondent groped victim two's breast and digitally penetrated her vagina during the course of a massage at Backfit Health and Spine in Goodyear, for which respondent was arrested and charged with one count of sexual abuse and one count of sexual assault. He also stated that at that time there's approximately six more victims pending and charges would be forthcoming. On December 23rd, respondent was arrested and charged with two counts of sexual abuse and one count of sexual assault in Goodyear, Arizona. To date, the respondent has failed to report the charges to the board within 10 days as required by statute. We were notified by, or we found documentation that the respondent, as a condition of his bail, is at home and he has signed to refrain from practice as part of his conditions for bail. So he's not sitting in the county jail waiting on trial. He's at home, but he has signed to refrain from practice, so he's not supposed to be practicing. I've reached out to Goodyear because when we brought this case before y'all before, we did not have an unredacted police report, and Goodyear's attorney would not allow the investigator to testify as it might do some damage to their criminal trial. That still holds true. I've reached out to Goodyear's attorney, trying to get a detective here to testify before y'all, and I have not heard back from a detective, and I still don't have an unredacted police report.
Thank you, Investigator Elton. I move that the board go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the Assistant Attorney General at this time. May I have a second?
This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion.
Thank you. And a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Board Member DeRoost.
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott.
Aye.
Chair Ryder.
Aye.
Four ayes, one vacant.
Okay. We will see the board members in executive session. Those on the call, hang tight until we return. Okay, it is March 27th, Monday at 9:25 a.m., and we are back in session from executive session. I'd like to continue discussing this particular case, number 22-285, Christopher Esteen, and invite the board members to unmute and discuss potential options for this particular case. I'd also like to invite our Assistant Attorney General, Jean Galvin, to make a statement based on what we know from the current investigation that is happening with Mr. Esteen, kind of putting the public a little bit at ease as far as what's happening on their end.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It was reported today by your investigator, Mr. Elson, that Mr. Esteen has signed an agreement that he would refrain from practicing massage therapy as a condition of his release. So he has entered into that agreement, and that should give the public and the board some comfort in the fact that the public is protected because he has agreed not to practice during the pendency of this matter as a condition of his release.
Thank you for that. And my understanding is that if the board were to take any action on this particular case, that it may disrupt the current investigation against Mr. Esteen.
Against the criminal investigation, that is true.
Yes.
When an administrative matter is parallel tracking the criminal matter, any action an administrative body may take could jeopardize the criminal investigation and the criminal prosecution.
Thank you for that. Board members, do you have any comments or things that you would like to add?
Vice Chairman, I agree. It's unfortunate that we can't make any action, but I do feel like we are in active communication with things like Goodyear, law enforcement, and just to wait to hear back until the criminal investigation is over.
Yeah, this is Board Member Tapscott. I agree to it. It feels strange, but we want justice served, and it sounds like the best thing we can do for that and the true safety of the public is to not take any action at this time. And that sounds like the best for public safety.
Thanks. This is Board Member DeRuth, and I agree, and I believe that, and I'm confident in the board that when we're able to and when we have all of the information and we can make a decision, I'm confident in the board being able to do what's best for public safety. So.
Thank you, board members.
I will add, Madam Chairman, that I have been in discussions with Mr. Esteen's criminal defense attorney and asked him to discuss with his client the possibility of entering into a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender of his license, or alternatively, an interim consent agreement for the voluntary suspension of his license pending the outcome of the criminal case.
Thank you for that. At this time, I move that we postpone this case until the current investigation of Mr. Esteen has been concluded and we have more information to proceed with any hearings or anything like that. That would be my motion.
I would, if I may, Madam Chairman, I would just move that we table this matter until additional information can be brought before the board. That could be at any time. Mr. Elson could have an update. I could have an update. That may be a more appropriate motion rather than waiting until the criminal investigation is complete.
Thank you. I rescind my previous motion, and I move that we...
just table this matter until additional information is received.
I move that we table this matter until additional information is received on this case. Thank you.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion.
And a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon? Vice Chair Moon?
It looks like she may have been dropped.
Oh, okay. We'll come back. Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon? I do see you're connected now. You're just muted.
Sorry, I'm having connection issues. Was there a motion made?
Yes. The chair has made a motion to table this until such time as there's new information from the Assistant Attorney General or the State Board Investigator. And right now there's 3 aye votes.
Aye.
Madam Chair, you have 4 aye votes and 1 vacant.
Thank you, Mr. Augerton. That motion passes, and this concludes the investigative review on Mr. Esteen. Our next case is case 23-015, Seth Bradley, licensed massage therapist 06975P. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time, and it is not a hearing. I understand that there is a complainant, I'm interested to know if the complainant is available at this meeting, RH.
Good morning. Yes, I'm on the call.
Thank you for being here. We'll proceed with you in just a moment. Is Seth Bradley present in this meeting? And it seems that he is not. So we're going to begin with Investigator David Elson. Would you please inform the board and the public a review and summary of the complaint against Seth Bradley?
Yes, Madam Chair. On November 9th, 2022, the board received a complaint from RH indicating she entered into an agreement with the respondent for approximately 20 massage sessions three times a week for $1,900, and respondent failed to fulfill the 20 massages and still owes her seven massages at the breakdown of $665, which she refuses to refund. Based on this information, the board conducted an investigation. RH provided a detailed list of no-shows or cancellations by the respondent. I reached out to the respondent, and his only written statement was her claims are not correct. She has the option to receive her sessions at any time. They don't ever expire. She can give them to someone else. Reasonable travel fees may be assessed. Lastly, if we were even to talk about a refund, the massages would be charged at a regular rate, not the planned discount rate. He said he gave her several options, and he says he is one of the kindest, greatest professional massage therapist anyone will ever meet. I explained back to him that the case would go before the board unless the respondent withdrew the complaint. And I checked back with the complainant last week, and he had not reached out or made contact with her. So the case was brought before y'all.
Thank you, Mr. Elson. RH, at this time, I would love to give you an opportunity to provide a brief statement or present any other information at this time.
He appeared to, I have every text message, which is how he communicated. I should have been done in approximately 7 weeks at 3 days a week, which was the agreed upon retraining supposedly of my muscle groups. He's impossible to schedule. I tried early morning, lunch hour, after hours. He canceled, he rescheduled, he vanished for 2 months. And then I have heard every excuse from sleeping in my car. My alarm didn't go off. It was raining and it didn't go off again. I had a family member sick. It got to the point that there was such a variety of reasons why he couldn't perform the work that I began to question. And one of the last ones I got was when I had him sit down and give me 5 weeks of scheduling. And again, he started no-showing, and he said he was caught in an airport. And at the same time, I work for a company that travels internationally, and we had all of our guys coming in from all over the United States, and nobody was having delays. So I asked him, what airport are you in and why are you delayed? And at that time, he said that I needed to change my attitude and that he no longer or he would not work with me. And at that point, I'm having this man in my home, and I am a single, smaller female. I got uncomfortable with it. I felt like that was a little hostile, considering that you have my money and I have chased trying to get this done. Do I want to give these to someone else? Absolutely. To have someone else have this? Absolutely not. I mean, to have someone else go through this horrible experience. His contract did say that there were no refunds, but this feels very breach of contract. It isn't for lack of trying. We're in September. I should have been done in 6 weeks or seven at 3 months. The only time I got three massages a week, as he had asked, was the very first week when he was trying to get my $1,900.
Thank you, RH. I do have a question. You had mentioned that there was a contract. Did you submit a copy of that contract at all to Investigator David Elson?
I am not sure.
Would you happen to have a copy of the contract that you might be able to go over with the board members? I know you had mentioned that on the contract that it indicated there were no refunds. I'm just interested to hear what is on that contract that you both signed, I'm assuming.
Yes. He would never give me a copy of that contract. I got a blank one, and I don't know if I even kept it in my frustration with all of this. I may not have hung on to it. Just being frustrated, I could never get a copy of the signed. He refused to give it to me after the fact.
Sure.
Let me look around, though. If I can find it, I have no problem providing it.
Absolutely. Other board members, do you have any questions that you would like to ask RH?
I have a question. So are you saying that the contract was signed by both of you, and you just don't have access to it?
It wasn't signed by both of us. I think it was only signed by me. And he never gave me a copy of it. And when I asked for it weeks later, he never provided it. Instead, he left a blank copy at my door when I wasn't home. In my frustration with this gentleman, I don't know if I hung on to it or not, being that it was blank.
Thank you.
But I'm going to look to see. I'm pretty good about hanging on to stuff, but on this site, I don't know.
Okay. Board Member DeRoos, do you have any questions that you would like to ask RH at this time?
Sure. Just for clarity, he did say somewhere in here that you were still able to go and get those massages, but what I hear you saying is that you don't want to complete this contract, or are you open to, he's just not willing to schedule?
I'm not open to it, because toward the end, in my frustration of when I questioned about his airport, I have all of these text messages from him, and let me read one of these last ones that he had sent, and I got kind of uneasy. Here we go. Oh, what was it? Yes, please cancel this week because I will not work under these conditions. You! Exclamation mark. What I say then? It's all to ask yourself if you feel better than before these healing hands, and we will resume and follow up. May God bless you this week and some light of understanding on how to communicate with people who are here to help you, not only you, but bless others. You are the one who is the client. And so, and what my question to him was, do you know when you're getting back? Again, he did the vanishing act. What airport are you at? My employers are doing a year-end meeting, so Caterpillar reps are flown in from all over the country, and I'm inquiring since none of them have flight issues. Or are you just extending your stay? ? That was the response. So I sent that to him on October 1st. October 2nd, I heard nothing again. I had lined up 6 appointments. He no-showed them all. I got that comment, and quite honestly, that passive aggressiveness, I don't know that I want that man in my house any longer. And that was why I didn't want to continue with him. The frustration of begging to get appointments, and I would send him at least 5 texts. Maybe he would respond, maybe he wouldn't. Kind of like today, not showing up, same go-round. And I'm a project manager. My world, to the moment, has got a meeting or something scheduled, and this was just too much effort for someone who has my money and should have been done in 7 weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for clarifying.
Board Member Tapscott.
I don't have any questions for RH. I have some comments when we're at that place, but I don't have any questions.
Okay. I would like to move to go into executive session to obtain legal advice at this time from our Assistant Attorney General.
This is Board Member Tapps. Can I second that motion?
And a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
And if you all would just give me a moment to create another portal and send it to you, I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll see you in the executive session. Those on the call, please hang tight until we return. It is Monday, March 27th, 9:52 a.m., and we are back from executive session. Board members, I'd like to go ahead and have you unmute so we can discuss some options of how to proceed with this particular case.
Vice Chairman, and I'll keep it quick. At this moment, I have enough information. The fact that there was a contract, but it wasn't presented, makes me feel like I don't have enough information to even look at options on how to ensure that everyone is safe in the situation and that what is being alleged is factual.
Thank you.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I agree with that. We definitely need more information. I'd also like to compel Mr. Bradley to talk to us about this matter. That would really help the situation.
Agreed.
This is Board Member Drews, and I don't have anything to add to that. I agree with both. We just need more information to make a decision.
Okay. Board members, would any of you like to entertain a motion at this time?
Would we be tabling until we get more information? Great. I will make a motion to table this investigative review until we're able to get more information and see if we can try and get Mr. Bradley to come and speak to us.
And would that also include to authorize board staff to subpoena contract information, text messages, and financial records?
Thanks. Yes, I would like to ask the investigator to get messages, contracts, any other information. I might have missed one.
Vice Chairman, I'll second that motion.
And a roll call vote, please.
Board Member Tapscott.
Aye.
Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
4 ayes, 1 vacant.
And the motion passes. Before we move on, I did see RH's hand up, so I want to give RH an opportunity to make one more statement. But this time we are going to be requesting additional information from all parties. Please go ahead, Artie.
I do have all the text messages. I just don't know how to provide them to you guys.
Okay.
How do you, other than, I mean, and this goes back almost from May through September, so you can imagine having to text him 3 and 4 times the number of messages that I have, but I can provide the entire, I saved them.
You can screenshot them and email them to me.
Okay.
Board staff can help you if you need additional assistance.
What email address do you want me to send them to?
I think Mr. Elson will reach out to you with that information.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Very good. That concludes this investigative review.
Is it okay for me to jump off?
Yes, you may. Please have a good day.
You as well. Thank you very much.
Our next investigative review is case number 23-018, Leisha Bao, LMT 22715. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time, and it is not a hearing. Is Ms. Leisha Bao present at this meeting? And if so, are you also represented by counsel? And it appears that Ms. Bao is not. Moving to Investigator David Olson, would you please provide the board and the members of the public with a review and summary of the complaint against Leisha Bao?
Yes, Madam Chair. On March 3rd, making sure I'm not muted.
You're not.
March 3rd, 2023, board was notified by Sergeant Jason Stout with the Mesa Police Department that on February 2023, after an undercover operation at Country Spa in Mesa, Arizona, the respondent was charged with prostitution for soliciting an undercover officer for sex. Based on that information, the board conducted an investigation. According to Mesa Police Report, case number GO20234328, on Tuesday, February 28th, 2023, Mesa Police conducted an undercover operation at Country Spa, Country Club Drive, Mesa, Arizona. On this date, undercover detectives were sent in. They were solicited for sex and exited. A search warrant was executed on the massage parlor. The parlor had condoms hidden in location, and respondent was charged with prostitution and then released. I reached out to the respondent for a written statement on March 9th, and she failed to provide one. I tried to call her on March 9th, and left a voicemail on her phone to return my call, which I still haven't heard from her, and she has failed to report the charges within 10 days as required.
And was there a conviction?
Not yet.
Okay. Just clarifying that.
Yeah, I brought her forth on the behavior that led to the charge.
And did you had you mentioned before, Mr. Investigator Olson, that the detective might be available for the board meeting today?
I received an email stating he was going to be here.
Okay. And is he not?
Yeah. I'm present if you can hear me.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Mr. Olson, I would like you to kind of take charge of this particular interview with the detective. The detective could provide any other information regarding this case to help the board move forward.
Detective Stout, do you want to summarize what occurred?
Sure. There's kind of a long history at this particular parlor, but I'll backtrack just a little bit. On February 1st, we did an inspection at this parlor in which one of the customers went running out the back door. A condom was located on the floor, and Leisha Bao ended up later showing up at the same parlor. At that time, there was no charge, just a lot of odd things that were located. Like I said, a condom at a massage parlor, some dressed up outfits, some sex toys, which led us to February 28th of doing an undercover operation. And at that time, there were only two masseuses present. One was Leisha Bao. Another one was a much older female. That would, if I had to guess, in her mid-50s. The undercover detective was audio recorded the entire time. Once he was solicited, he exited the parlor. We conducted a rollback search warrant that was already mostly written. So that way we wouldn't have any lag in time to where if new masseuses came in or not, that we would have to deal with that variable, which we didn't. We kept constant surveillance on the parlor the entire time. No new employees came or went. And he even later identified Leisha Bao as the same subject that solicited him for sex. He was solicited for $160 for full sex, and then, you know, extra money if she wanted to also do oral sex on top of full sex. We did a, like I said, a a rollback search warrant after the solicitation. There was multiple hidden regular kitchen accessories like Morton salt containers and Glade air fresheners that you unscrew the bottoms off of, and there were multiple condoms hidden in those locations. If I had to guess, probably 50 condoms. Lisa Bell had no explanation as to the solicitation, denied it, and had no explanation as for the dress-up outfits, condoms, et cetera, that were located. She was mugged and printed, which means we took her to the station and got her fingerprints and photographed, but since it's a misdemeanor, she was inevitably released after being charged.
Thank you. Board members, questions?
Officer, do we have a copy of that audio cam and the video?
It can be made available.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Investigator Olson, do you have anything that you would like to add?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay.
Except the fact that she's been, I've even reached out to her on her phone and left a voicemail, and she's failed to report the charges, and she's failed to provide the written statement as required.
Okay. Board Member Tapscott, do you have a comment or question? You look curious right now, so I'm like, there's some things going on.
I don't have a question. I just have a comment.
Sure.
I don't think it's a situation whether these charges are going to go, you know, are valid or not. This is a situation of the fact this person did not report the charges, which is required, and we can't get a hold of the person in question now after charges have been reported to the board. And that is a statement of fact at this point. And that's what I think we can address.
Sorry, this is Board Member Derisa. I'm just going to piggyback on top of you. Not only did she not report the charges, but the charges are tied to massage therapy. It's not a separate charge. This is something that is specifically tied to the profession. And so I think that also just needs to be stated.
Thank you. Vice Chair Moon?
No comments or questions, but I agree with Tapscott and Derisa.
Does anybody have a motion they would like to entertain?
This board member, Tapscott, I'm just hesitating because of what we can do. Some of the things I'd like to discuss is obviously a suspension of the license, possibly a revocation of the license. I just don't know if we're at that stage or if we need to bring this to a formal case to do that. That's the only thing I'm hesitating on. I think we have enough to revoke this license. The question is, what is the step forward to head in that direction?
AG Galvin can correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't take disciplinary action in an investigative review. You either have to move it to a formal hearing, a formal interview, or you could offer her a consent for a voluntary surrender, but with her being a non-responder, I don't know if she would even send it back. Or she has a California address. So, but you'd have to move it forward to an investigative review, I mean a formal interview or a formal hearing.
This is Board Member Tapscott. So for expediency, I think going directly to a formal hearing would make some sense, and normally I wouldn't jump over a step, so to speak, but again, we have somebody who's not responding to us.
And we have a lot of information already provided by the detective.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay, so this is Board Member Tapscott. I move that we move this case to a formal hearing, this matter to a formal hearing.
Dean, you're muted.
For the motion, what would the grounds be for the possible violation as set forth in 3242.53?
the grounds for moving this to a formal hearing are failure to report a charge, which is required.
Failing to provide a written statement as required.
Yes, failure to report a written statement, you know, to provide a written statement is required as well.
Mr. Elson, could you provide the statutory cite for that?
I'd have to look it up. I don't know it off the top of my head.
I'm trying to track that down.
I know it says in the notice of complaint. Hold on, let's see. It doesn't state it in the notice of complaint. It just says you have 10 days from the date of this letter to respond to the board.
Would the board care to receive legal advice, please?
This is Board Member Task, and I move that we move into executive session for legal advice.
I second that motion. And a roll call vote.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
One vacant, and if you'll give me a minute again to create the portal. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you in executive session. People on the call, maintain your positions here. We'll be back shortly. All right, it is Monday, March 27th at 10:26 a.m., and we are back from executive session. And we will continue discussing case number 23-018, Alicia Bowell, license and budget, therapist 27615. I'd like to have the board members unmute at this time to discuss and possibly entertain any motions.
Well, this is Board Member Tapscott. I definitely feel like we have enough to move forward to a formal interview, especially I really appreciate the lens Ms. DeRoos put on this by pointing out these are charges that are associated with massage. And I think that makes definitely gives us grounds to move this to a formal interview. Also based on information we received in executive session, I would like to also direct the staff to open up a complaint and investigate if there are additional charges associated with this individual that were not reported to the board. Are there any thoughts on that?
I agree with you 100%. I think that we have enough information to move forward and even offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender. Even though the individual may not be very communicative, it gives us a step forward in the process, and then also requesting a formal interview to get more information, like you said, from potentially previous cases, charges, and I think we would be very well rounded to do so.
This is Board Member Davis, and I would agree with that. I saw we added in that consent agreement. I think the first go round it wasn't in there, so I support all of that.
And Vice Chair Moon, do you have any comments?
No comments.
All right. Board Member Tapscott, would you like to entertain that motion for us, please?
No, but I will anyway. All right. I would like to make a motion for three different things. One is that we offer a voluntary consent agreement for the surrender of the license. Two, that we, based on the fact that these charges were not reported to the board, that we move this to a formal interview. And then finally, that we direct the board staff to open a complaint to investigate if there are additional charges associated with this individual.
I second that motion. And can we do a roll call vote, please, Mr. Augerton?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
4 ayes, 1 vacant.
The motion passes.
Madam Chairman, if I may, it sounded previously as though the sergeant would be willing to provide a police report and then a copy of the audio and video that is in his possession. And I would ask on behalf of the board that that information be provided to the board's investigator.
Yes, absolutely. Including with the authorizing the staff to get that information, I would like that information to be included in the investigation as well.
Thank you, and I express my thanks to the sergeant for doing that.
Yes, thank you very much. All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If you'd like, your speaker is present on the call.
Okay. Let's see. Yes, you know, we have, yes, let's go ahead and do that so we're not holding him up. We do have one more case, but let me backtrack.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
He has just sent a text that he has to jump to a meeting for access, but he'll be back as soon as it's over. So
okay.
I apologize. You should proceed until we hear back from him.
Okay.
He's at the state legislature right now.
Very good. Then we're going to go ahead and proceed with the next case, investigative review, which is case number 22-194, Stephanie Tyfree. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. This is a preliminary investigative review of the information available to the board at this time, and it is not a hearing. Is Stephanie Tyfree present at the meeting?
I am.
Welcome. And are you represented by any counsel?
No.
Okay. Investigator David Elson, this case has been brought. Would you please inform the board and members of the public a review and summary of the complaint against Stephanie Tyfree?
Yes, Madam Chair. On February 28, 2022, applicant applied for initial licensure as a massage therapist. Applicant marked no to the questions on the application. Have you been convicted of a class 4, 5, or 6 felony involving moral turpitude that is reasonably related to the practice of massage therapy? And have you been convicted of a class 1, 2, or 3 felony? A review of the applicant's background revealed that she had been convicted of felony possession of marijuana on December 18, 2001. Based on this information, the board conducted an investigation. According to Phoenix Police Department, case number PHX0124867, on September 5, 2001, applicant was arrested and charged with felony possession of marijuana and felony possession of paraphernalia in Phoenix, Arizona. According to Maricopa County Circuit Court records, CR2001-013266, applicant was convicted of felony possession of marijuana and the charge of possession of paraphernalia was dismissed. According to Maricopa County Superior Court case number CR200101-3266. On February 8, 2023, an order was signed expunging the felony charge from the applicant's record. And I'm available for any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Tyfree, do you wish to make a brief statement or present any information at this time?
Sure. So would you like me to state what happened or?
You may. This is your time to make your statement.
Okay. So 20 years ago, I had a left temporal lobectomy, and because I used to have epilepsy, and so after having the lobectomy, I got migraines. And before marijuana was legal, I smoked marijuana for the pain for the migraines. And so when I was pulled over for making it was a, I forget what the traffic complaint was. I think I pulled into a parking lot to avoid stopping at a red light. And so the undercover cop who was behind me pulled me over saying that I avoided the traffic light, and he asked to search my vehicle. When he did is when he found the marijuana and the pipe in my center console. And so that was in 2001. I have since not smoked marijuana for 12 years now because I don't have my migraines anymore. And I have looked into expunging that felony that I was convicted of. So again, this was over 20 years ago.
Yes.
So all I'm asking for is to now be granted a massage therapy license. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Stephanie. I do have a question out of curiosity. You had attended massage school quite some time ago.
Uh-huh.
And had not pursued a license at that time. Was that because of your surgery?
That was, yeah.
Because your original training was, I think, like in 2001?
2000.
Yeah, okay. I went to Rainstar Massage Therapy School, which is now closed, unfortunately.
Correct, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was, that was a long time ago. have you pursued, well, I mean, I guess you wouldn't have to because you haven't had a license. You haven't sought a massage therapy license since you've graduated.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that was one of my main questions that I wanted to ask. I'd like to have the other board members ask any questions to Stephanie at this time.
Hi, Stephanie. I don't have a question specifically to you, but I do for our council regarding are we allowed to exist outside of, it hasn't been a sponge, but it's still, I mean, the timeline. I would like to see her get her license, but I just want to see if what options we have and if we're able to reach outside of her case.
So the summary says that there was an order that was signed expunging the record. Is that your understanding, ma'am? The order we have in the packet is not signed. Did the expungement occur?
It did.
Okay.
I emailed the signed copy to Mr. Elson.
Okay. All right.
I can email another one as well.
No, that's okay. I just didn't see it in the packet. So the fact that it was expunged, we could not take any action on the underlying offense. You do have a possible violation of unprofessional conduct for her failure to respond honestly to the application and answer those questions honestly. I would like to hear why she answered no.
Can I go ahead?
Yes.
Okay. So the reason it was no was because I had already filed for it to be expunged last year. That as well as it being 21 years, I didn't know I thought it was every 7 years or every 12 years that, it was erased off the record. I didn't realize 21 years prior to would still be on my record. So that's why I said no.
Understood.
Carlson, what is the date of the expungement?
February, I believe.
Yeah, February. I just checked my email. I don't have a emailed copy from her. I've got one that was signed by Deputy County Attorney Jason Kalish.
That's what I have.
And it was submitted February 8th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an email from her with the actual order signed by a judge.
Yeah, the one I have was signed by the deputy.
If you can give me just a minute.
there should have been the paperwork you submitted to Windows 6. You submitted the order, which was signed by the, let's see, you submitted the state's response to the petition to expungement, and then you submitted an order that doesn't, that's not signed by a judge.
Okay, I can go on my iCloud account. The one that I have was what I gave to you, Mr. Elson.
Right, I don't have one. If you look at what you gave me, the order is not signed by a judge.
So you're looking, Mr. Elson, you're looking for another signature, not just a deputy, but a judge. Is that
correct? I've got you. One is the state's response to the petition to expunge, which they're not objecting it. And that was submitted, that was signed on February 8, 2023 by Jason Kalish, Deputy County Attorney. And then the other is a order, the state of Arizona's plaintiff versus Stephanie Taifiri is the defendant, and it's an order, having read the motion to expunge and good cause appearing, is ordered expunging any record. That order is not signed by the judge.
So how does she get that signed?
My guess is it's been signed.
We just don't have it yet.
We don't have it. I just tried to look it up, and it says that the case is sealed. So my guess is that that expungement occurred.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am?
Ms. Ruth.
Sorry, I just want to ask you a question about the expungement. That only matters if we're wanting to move forward with some kind of, like, action. And from Mariah, Ms. Moon, she said that she wanted to move forward. I'd like to move forward with licensing. I guess I'm just curious if this conversation, we can still move forward with licensing, whether or not she has the expungement or not, is my understanding.
Her criminal conduct, because of the expungement, could not serve as a bar to her licensure. The issue, possible issue, is her failure to answer the questions honestly.
Correct, but we can still, so hearing her explanation, we can still move forward with licensure based off of her explanation.
You may.
Okay, I just want clarification around that.
Sure. Vice Chair Moon?
Yeah, and I think I was not putting it all together. I think my concern, I do want her to get her license. My concern is us as a board being consistent and making sure that we're treating everyone the same as far as how people fill out the their application. We're wanting people to be honest, and I know in the past we have come down pretty hard on folks that are not honest on that application. So I understand the justification and her reasoning for not wanting to put an honest answer, but we do expect, and we have been driving pretty consistently, that people answer the application correctly and honestly.
This is Board Member DeRuth. So I think that there are times when that is holds true, and then I think as long as there's a valid explanation for, and I, there have been times that we have moved forward, especially recently, with somebody marking that they haven't had a felony, and we've still moved forward because the explanation made sense. And for me, this explanation still makes sense, and I don't think it's enough of a reason not to move the application forward, in my opinion.
Board Member Tapscott?
Yeah, this is Board Member Tapscott. Yeah, I actually kind of agree with everybody here. However, time is a factor. 20 years to me is different than 2 years. The explanation is a factor. I think all of us, I don't want to speak for all of us, but I think it's safe to say this. What we really look at is public safety, and I'm having a really hard time seeing how this individual is an endangerment to the public. And I would definitely support moving forward with licensure. I think that those are enough reasons to have that type of decision. I agree sometimes we come down very hard, but this is a huge length of time, you know, not an endangerment to the public, all those reasons.
Yes, please go ahead, Jean.
Information for the record, I'm not sure where this February 8th, 2023 date came from. I don't want to assume, or I don't think we can assume, that we don't know when her expungement was received. It could have been before this application was submitted. It could have been after. I'm not able to tell based upon the records that were provided to us. So that could be a possibility why she answered the way she did. And just from my experience representing other boards, individuals whose records have been expunged because of the nature of the expungement feel as though and have been at times advised you don't have to answer yes to those kinds of questions because of the expungement. So there's kind of two matters to consider. We just don't know when the expungement took place, but there is evidence of it because the record is sealed. Thank you.
The information was dropped off at the board on 2/13/23. Mm-hmm. That's when she delivered it to Windows 6 at the board's office.
Okay. One of the things that I want to bring up to the other board members, too, is, you know, Mr. Capscott, you had mentioned, you know, time is a factor, 20 years versus 2 years. So in that, too, Stephanie has not obtained a massage therapy license since graduation and also has not had additional training in massage therapy since her graduation date. So I would like the board members to consider or let's discuss possible requirement for continuing education hours in addition to granting that license, because it's been such a long period of time from her graduation date to obtaining a license.
Yeah, this is board member Tapscott. That did catch my attention. Are we talking 20 years since you've been in school? Mm-hmm. I remember the school you went to, because I'm old enough to remember. and did you graduate 500 hours or 700 hours?
1,000.
Oh, 1,000. Okay, so we don't have that problem. That makes a big difference in my mind, because what we would probably require is continuing ed that would have been done over the last 20 years, which is roughly every 2 years requiring looking at another 250 hours, roughly. It's actually 240, I think. And this individual has that, too. So it's a very unusual situation, I admit. But, I mean, I think the 1,000 hours, that satisfies, that did catch my attention, by the way, but that satisfies me on the makeup hours, so to speak, if we're still going to count them. I mean,
I personally would like to see something a bit more current, because there's been such a time span from her graduation. So, I would even, suggest, you know, like our 24 continuing education hours, just to kind of, get back into the massage therapy industry. I'm obviously open to suggestions, but I do believe that there should be some type of continuing education because there's been such a long period of time from the graduation date, regardless of the original training. Vice Chairman?
So theoretically, I agree. I don't think we should land that way as a board. She came to us specifically for the charges, with our privilege information, we discovered that there was a huge gap in education. I don't know if that should be our directive then to drill into mandating more, since that's not why she came in front of the board. I think we should look at the singular case and make a choice to either let her get licensed or not.
This is Board Member Drews, and I think that was coming up for me, too. Is there any legal, you know, if somebody waits so long to get licensed, is there any requirement? And if there's not, you know, then are we holding her to something that other people wouldn't have to be held to? So, and if there is, then, and I guess I do have a question also. Have you done any continuing education? Okay, I just like to ask that question.
not continuing education, but my family, my mom has rheumatoid arthritis and my sister has bad arthritis in all of her joints. So I have massaged them continually. But I haven't gone through schooling.
I actually looked into this during the investigation, and I couldn't find a statute that our board required a refresher course. Most other boards will require a refresher course after X amount of time. Our board doesn't have that statute to require a refresher course for, let's say, after 3 years of after school of not practicing. Most boards will require a refresher course. We don't have that statute.
Sure. And I also want to mention, too, that, you know, 20 years is a long time. And this is just, you know, for the sake of argument and as being a massage therapist, that we know that, every decade we get more information about what massage therapy can and cannot do. And so I think that, you know, being current on the information that's available regarding the massage therapy industry is important. I would be curious if the other board members would entertain maybe the MBLEX exam, as the MBLEX exam is going to have questions on it that pertain to more current information that revolves around the massage therapy industry. And board member Tapscott, you have your hand up.
Yeah, just board member Tapscott, in response to that, I think that would be overstep on our part. That's adding a whole other layer of expense and regulation and setting a precedent that we've never set before. And again, what we're really discussing is, do we move forward with this license application? And we've never made a time limit on this. And again, I keep asking myself, is there a danger to the public? And I'm having a really hard time thinking of stuff that's changed in the massage field that's going to be endanger the public not knowing it since the time that this individual went to school. That's where I keep finding out. I'm not suggesting these aren't things, by the way, Chair Ryder, that could be discussed and set formally in the future or something. But in this particular case, I think we'd be going way out of bounds what we've normally done. I would instead motion that we issue this license.
My concern, you say that is, you know, that there's not a danger to the public. And while I don't doubt that Ms. Tyfrey is a stand-up citizen, 20 years is a long time to remember pathology and contraindication for specific, health conditions. And that's where, and generally speaking, ethically speaking, she may not be a danger to the public in the way that many of the cases that we see are. But I just think that that some type of education or around contraindications, just to make sure that she's practicing at a level that needs to be practiced. And Stephanie, please go ahead. You had your hand up.
Chair Ryder, can I interject? I just want to make sure I'm tracking. Did Tapscott put a motion on, or was that a suggestion?
It sounded to me as a suggestion.
It was actually a motion. I mean, I can understand that. It was very subtly said, but I would motion that we move forward with this license, that we accept this license, that we you know.
Grant application?
Thank you so much. I would motion that we grant this application for licensure, using my words.
And I want to table this for a second, just because Stephanie does have her hand up and wants to interject, and I want to make sure that we get all of the comments in before entertaining that motion. So please, Stephanie, go ahead.
Okay, so I do want to say that I was getting also into nursing, and I went to the first 2 years through Glendale Community College and Scottsdale Community College, and I've taken AMP twice within the last 12 years. So I do want to say human anatomy, insertion origin, belly of the muscles, all the skeletal system. I'm very up to date knowledge wise on that. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
No.
We do have a motion now on the floor.
This is Vice Chairman. I'll second that motion.
Could we add, I'd like to just add an addendum to that motion, providing that the applicant meets all of the requirements to that. That's all.
Can I clean up your motion just a little bit for you for the minute, for the next one? So it'll be easier in the minutes.
Yes.
Based upon the information presented at this meeting and finding the fact statute and rule violations identified in the investigative report, upon meeting all licensure requirements, grant licensure.
Beautifully stated, Investigator Elson. And so we have the original motion. We have a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Board Member DeRoost?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Vice Chair Moon?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
4 ayes, 1 vacant.
The motion passes to grant licensure, provided that all of the information in the application is accurate. And that concludes this investigative review.
Madam Chair, we do have the speaker back, if you have a moment.
Yes. Yes, we do have a moment. So, Stephanie, thank you for being here. You're welcome to stick around if you like. All right. So we have joining us today Mr. Steve Mortel from the American Massage Therapy Association Arizona chapter to give us some updates on the Arizona legislature issues. And after Mr. Mortel's presentation, I would like to invite the board members to ask him any questions. So, Mr. Mortel, thank you for joining us today and sharing some wisdom with us.
I will try. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. So, again, Steve Mortel, S360, on behalf of the Massage Association. I guess I'll kind of start on process-wise where we are in the legislative session. The current week is the last week to hear bills in committee outside of a potential appropriations hearing this following week. So if your bill has not made it through the committee process, is not on an agenda for this current week, you're in a little bit of trouble at this point. We have seen that with a few of the bills that we've been tracking on behalf of the association, specifically the communication proficiency repeal has still not been assigned in the Senate side, so it has not been placed on an agenda moving that one forward at this point. That committee does not meet until Tuesday. It is a special meeting, so there are some different rules about being able to place that. It would have to be first read today on the floor, assigned to the committee, and then potentially added to the agenda within 24 hours of that notice due to the special meeting hearing requirements. The other good news, though, is we've finally seen some movement on the continuation legislation. I think, unfortunately, as Tom and I were kind of speaking about last week, I think, unfortunately, the board was just in a position where their continuation happened to lie in the same year as the access continuation. Obviously, Medicaid is more of a controversial and kind of hot potato, particularly amongst the Republican-controlled legislature and our now Democrat governor. So any sort of leverage that the legislature anticipates they have at this point with these sort of things, I think they've been holding off and doing those. You saw the precedent for this, obviously, in the last legislative session. They didn't push a lot of those continuations out until the very end. So that hearing, though, is scheduled for Tuesday, and we are signing in support of that, obviously, moving that legislation forward. Beyond that, I guess the big thing of the week that's happening right now is you have a Medicaid access supplemental payment that has to be processed by April 1st. Otherwise, a substantial amount of Medicaid dollars will not be distributed. I think it's somewhere north of $4 billion. That they're looking at pulling out of the economy if they don't pass this within the next 4 days. So that's kind of been the hot button issue, which is actually why I had to jump off. So I apologize for that and have to jump off in a couple minutes to run up to the governor's office to have some additional discussions about what's going to happen with that this week. So I might just kind of pause there and try and answer any questions you folks might have that might be more beneficial to your time.
I just got a notification that I was muted. I apologize. I know this hasn't hit Arizona yet, but I'm concerned about some of the legislation that's happening in other states regarding moving the massage therapy education down to 100 hours. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about that and how it's moving forward? I know I'm understanding that this is sitting on the desk of the governor in Utah right now and waiting to be signed. And what does that look like for the industry? I mean, I personally find it to be quite concerning.
Yeah, I mean, I think the level of education has obviously been kind of a controversial issue since the inception of the board here in Arizona and determining what our credentials and leveling of that education requirements were going to be. You know, we have, I believe, still have the displacement between the board rule and the statute of what those hours currently are. So there's been some discussions in the past years, I know, about maybe trying to codify what the board has done in statute and moving some different, but also there's been some discussions about, well, just leave it alone because people haven't really noticed, or at least if you make it an issue, maybe it won't be an issue kind of conversation. I think obviously it's a disturbing trend to have that minimized and is not something I'm not speaking for the association, but I know there's been concern of that in the past. Obviously, for this legislative session, we most likely would not be able to do anything like that moving forward. I haven't just heard any discussion about that at the legislature moving that forward. You know, as Tom can attest, never say never in legislative session until they actually are done. But at the same time, those conversations have not been a topic at this point. And so I think if anything is to look forward in Arizona, it would not be till the next legislative session.
Understood. And then I don't want to dominate the conversation here. I want to obviously let the other board members chime in too. But I'm curious if you have any information regarding other states and the how they compare what is required by license versus what is required by certification or voluntary certification. Perhaps the difference between the two of them as far as moving from state to state when it comes to reciprocity licenses, just out of curiosity.
And I don't have that information in front of me. I'm sorry. I know that we've looked at those in the past, and I know I've seen some of those documents, but I don't have any of that currently in front of me to kind of give you a better idea of that analysis.
Sure. I like to beat a dead horse. So it's been a question that's come up quite a bit, and so any opportunity that we get to try to get more information to trying to determine the difference between the two and what that looks like, I'm always going to ask. So, but I will hand off to the other board members and allow them to ask any questions that they'd like as well.
Mr. Vice Chairman, no questions at this time, but thank you for your update.
Absolutely.
Board Member Tapscott?
This is Board Member Tapscott. I don't have any questions either. Chair Ryder covered them quite nicely, but I do appreciate your time, Mr. Mortel, and your presentation filling us in. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And Board Member DeRoos?
Thank you. No, Board Member DeRoos, and I don't have any questions either. Thank you for the update.
And I'd also like to invite Director Tom Augerton, do you have any questions that you feel would be pertinent for the board members to know from Mr. Mortel that maybe we didn't ask?
No. Well, thanks, Madam Chair. Steve is following in the hallowed footsteps of Greg Harris, who has retired and moved and growing a beard in the San Juan Islands off the state of Washington. So he's setting the behavior example for the rest of this, if not yet retired, perhaps. But Madam Chair, maybe we could ask Steve to come back at the conclusion of the session and give us just kind of a wrap-up presentation and get him used to thinking. This is something that we can get for free on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Love to do it.
Well, the invitation is open, and we appreciate your time today and making time for us to pick your brain a little bit and share that information. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Bye. Thank you. All right. Next agenda item number 10, we have our board investigator report, Senior Investigator David Elson III. Would you please provide the board with your investigative report? And in your report, if you would entertain me, would you be able to share also how many fingerprint cards that we are still waiting on to receive back to complete incomplete applications that may still be pending? And if there are any still from last year?
Before he starts, I just want to do a correction for you. On the last version of the agenda, it would be item number 8, not 10.
Oh, I apologize.
Following at home.
Thank you for that.
I don't know. We don't track fingerprint cards like that. When the application is completely complete, then licensing gives me the card. So how many applications are incomplete that they're waiting on information before I get the card? I don't have any idea. I know I'm waiting. I've got approximately 90 sent off to DPS at the moment that I'm waiting on. In the past month, I've received 60 back from DPS, and I'm awaiting 90. Everything I have is processed and gone. However many cards licensing may be holding, I don't know until their applications get complete.
I see. Tony, I'm glad you chimed in.
I have 375 that is waiting to go to David that are not complete.
That is very helpful.
Okay.
Well, that makes me sad.
Tony, while you're here, do we have any that we're waiting on from last year that we're still waiting on from DPS?
Again, these are ones that have not went to David, so he couldn't possibly give them to DPS yet because the application is not done or they haven't paid or something's missing. And
okay.
I can only give him those things after they're in the system for lookup, and then they can be found on the website as pending. These don't even qualify to do that yet. So that's
okay.
The 375 something's wrong with. Before he gets them, so.
Understood. Thank you for that. That's very informative. Investigator Elson, do you have anything else that you would like to add to your report, any case, new cases and such?
Yes, we've had 9 new cases since the last board meeting. Three of them were closed for being outside our jurisdictional preview. Unfortunately, y'all didn't close any today because Lisa Bao was in that group of new ones. So, so just 9, 3 were closed. So that leaves 6 left. And 2 of them are like brand new, like Friday new.
Okay.
DPS update. When the bill was created, it wasn't really thought out with these fingerprint clearance cards. Simply because what we're seeing is when somebody submits a fingerprint clearance card, they're going down to DPS, and within 3 days, they have their card. So they're not doing the real background check at the time before they issue the card. So I've got this sneaky feeling in about 2 to 3 months, we're going to get a mass email from DPS saying all these people's cards have been suspended because they have an arrest. So when they did this legislation, they didn't put any statutes for y'all to be able to say if their fingerprint card is suspended, then their license is suspended. So that's going to pose a huge problem in probably, I'm guessing, 8 to 12 weeks is what it usually takes for us to get them back. So when they get them back, it's going to be, we're going to get a mass communication. Because when they submit their cards, I can check it and see that it says application on the 13th, issued on the 15th.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're issuing them and then sending the background check is my guess. I've been trying to get confirmation from somebody at DPS about that, but I just haven't been able to get them to call me back.
Because that would be wonderful if people could get a background check that quickly.
Right.
Massage board.
Well, because DPS has the power just to suspend the card if something comes back.
We don't have
that statutory authority with their license, though. Because it wasn't added in there at the bill's inception.
Okay. Board Member Tapscott, you have your hand up.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to confirm that. I of course, went and tried to apply for my card because I wanted to see how the process worked, and I have to renew here soon. And I got an email that said it was approved in a very quick amount of time, less than a week, I think. And so I can confirm that. I'm assuming, though, this will be a one-time headache in the sense that we still require a fingerprint clearance card when you apply, and we still do our own background check to give you your license correct, so we still have that safety net. I realize we're going to get this backlash of these applications going through, right, and there might be something on there, but with all of our new licenses, we still require our own fingerprint clearance card, so I think we still have that safety net in this. We just added this reporting mechanism in now.
Right, so I think it's like the initial applications that you're talking about, and this will be more for the people who are renewing, correct, David?
Right. It's, the initial is the safety check there, but if you've had your license for 15 years, and just like other people like from today's meeting that were arrested and never reported those charges, they're getting that fingerprint clearance card to renew, and then we're going to get hit with thousands of rejected fingerprint cards or suspended fingerprint clearance cards when their backgrounds come back.
Madam Chair, the attorney's present on this call, and I think she's taking notes and can probably report at the next meeting for specific policy recommendations.
Excellent. Tony Wilcox?
There is one more thing I'd like to say on the fingerprint cards. I currently have 72 cards that I have submitted to Dave to vet that they are assigned to Massage Board. I just didn't say that earlier.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Investigator Olson?
No, I think that covers it. My life has been validating fingerprint clearance cards recently.
Okay. Very good. Agenda item number 9. Am I on the right number now?
Yes, ma'am.
Executive Director's Report, Director Tom Ogerton, would you please provide the board and public with your report?
And I thought that was a private correction. I didn't realize that was as public as it was. just a few things very briefly. I'm about to sign on behalf of the board the final scope of work for Thentia, which is the new data conversion database for the board. At some later point in the year, I'm hoping we can do a screen share during a meeting and show you some of the products or show you some of the methodology by which this will be operating, and it's supposed to be concluded by the end of the fiscal year according to their deadlines. So the staff has, except for myself, everybody has been through the training. I'm trying to get past the password, but it is on schedule. It is moving well ahead. And I probably want to publicly thank Karen Whiteford, who is our engagement manager from the Arizona Department of Administration, who's been really our partner and pathfinder on this whole process and more patient than probably we deserve. Since our last board meeting, I tried an experiment, hoping that this would be something that at least would reflect an attempt, if not a guarantee of success, which it did not. But as you know, we requested additional funds from our revolving fund this year for more staff. And I thought maybe, given the effect of recent legal changes and fingerprinting and so forth, the fact that we have basically a phone booth in terms of resources for licensing, would the process be amenable to, instead of 3 FTEs, would they entertain 2 FTEs, both of which would be for licensing? And I did speak to our OSCB analyst, who's very supportive and very helpful. And my suggestion specifically was, could we get just that money authorized in what they do at the end of the session, which is the OR bill, the Omnibus Reconciliation Bill, which would give the board access to some of its funds. Well, be careful what you ask for. I did not make a successful pitch for those monies, but it raised an issue that came up during the Arizona Auditor General's performance audit that our revolving fund, they feel, is not of sufficient size due to a lack of competitive licensing fees. Now, interestingly, before my arrival here and actually my predecessor, the fees charged by the board were more than what they currently are. And I'm not actually certain in history when that changed. But I did want to remind the board that during the COVID epidemic, there's two things that the board changed. And one was we suspended the continuing education credits for the 24 months. So every single active licensee was able to forego the requirements at the time of renewal in that calendar two-year period, not past December 31st of last year, which was a savings to, hopefully, to the individual LMTs during a very tough time when business was at a stop or at a slowdown. And the other thing the board did was we suspended the renewal fee of $95. Well, $95 times the number of licensees we had at that moment comes to almost $1 million. It's about $970,000 that was waived, again, with the goal being that the COVID epidemic was unprecedented. There was an attempt by the board to look like we were partnering during a time of hardship and business deprivation for the individual LMTs. That has brought our general fund balance down to barely, $1.3 million, which is, although on a more positive note, that's roughly almost three fiscal years of operating funds for the board. But the OSPB now is asking me to come to a meeting where they want to talk about some type of performance study, and we thought we would use the Central Services Bureau that we already pay for, which is part of DOA. Those are our financial accountants and payroll and anything dealing with money, intake of fees. So there's going to be an analysis done, and then the results reported back to the board. But I would say now that the Auditor General and the Governor's Budget Office raising this as an issue, and of course, you hate to say this during a time of hyperinflation, but it looks like the board is going to be requested to raise fees for initial licenses and renewals, and I'm not sure if there'll be other fee increases recommended or not. But there's an algorithm which we're not meeting currently, where the revolving fund is dropping faster than what they feel is the sufficient fiscal balance in the fund. And then again, after effects of COVID, we don't have as many licensees as we had before March 2020. There are a lot of initial applications coming in. There are people still moving here. But this is not the board that existed prior to the first case of COVID. You've already heard from Steve that the good news is that legislation is moving for the current expiration of the state board on June the 30th of this year. So Senate Bill 1083 is before the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, and we're there with the other boards, the other offices that are requesting continuation and funding. We are literally last on the agenda, and we will probably not be heard until tomorrow night, but that will take place in theory tomorrow, and we'll keep you up to date on that. As you know, we already have appeared before the two committees of reference, both House Health and Senate Health. We appeared and provided testimony at that time. But tomorrow is the next step of the process to try to get legislation considered before the sine die adjourn, and we don't know what we're doing on July the 1st. And I think that is it. I have, Madam Chair, Board members, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer those for you.
Thank you so much. Tony Wilcox?
I just wanted to add one more point that asking for more personnel staff is incredibly hard because people don't know. Just during this meeting alone today, I have assigned Paul to call back at least 30 people that has been calling us during this meeting. So they're not the people that is actually in the meeting. These are, I need this fixed now. I need this fixed now. I need this fixed now. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point that out, that this is timestamped during the meeting, and it's what, it's constant battle. You have no idea. You got two people. You got me as the supervisor over licensing, and then a helper, Paul. That's it. Lord knows the LMTs don't understand how much work there is, and I'm not going to go into other institutions because I think they all need to see this in a board meeting. That's why I presented that, and thank you, Angela, Madam Chair, for allowing me to show that. That's all.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. I think you show a perspective that a lot of people don't get to see what happens behind the scenes of how the board operates. And I think that's a missing component of the demand that that is expected of our board, but we just can't seem to get the funding for our hot dog stand. Let's see. All right. So at this time, yes, Mr. Tapscott.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to piggyback on all that because I think the situation is more dire than even Mr. Wilcox or Executive Director Augerton have painted. I think they're being professional. but not only on top of that, right, there's a push and pull to do all sorts of reviews of current activities in the board, which take up tremendous amounts of time. I've been involved in stuff like that before. It takes you away from activities that your daily work activities. And so you're getting stretched and questioned more and more with less and less, and an ever growing license pool of applicants and such. So I just want to add to that commentary and put that on record that, it is, I don't know how you guys do it actually.
I don't either.
And and it's very hard to improve situations. I have my own, wishes too for how we process things and things like that. But I do want to be very clear that it's pretty hard to improve processes when you don't have enough staff, and that's not a fair ask of the massage board staff. So I don't know what to say, except that I really appreciate the hard work you guys are doing. And I'm very sorry about the utter lack of support that you've gotten, staffing-wise mainly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tapscott. Do board members wish to add anything to future agenda for discussion, perhaps at our next meeting? Anything that – yes, please go ahead, Mr. Tapscott.
Yeah, I would like to add – and I got to – it was brought up in the call to public, but – a discussion about continuing ed and what counts as in person or not. Like, do we count, I don't want to get in the discussion now, but do we count a live interactive seminar as in person or not? Or do they actually have to be physically in person? I do admit education has changed. I'm not even sure where I stand on that, but I would like to have that from the agenda for us so that we can clarify for the public, like, here's what counts and here's what doesn't. I think that's important for us to come down on that somewhere.
I agree. I think I would like to see that also put on the agenda. And Tom, I know that previously you had given me a definition that was provided by private post-secondary education, which is what we follow. We could maybe add that to their to that agenda because that is what we follow. Their definition of that is where our rule of statute is coming from.
Yes, Madam Chair. And it's a good idea, Board Member Tapscott, because this was really clarified by the AG's office as recently as about 60 days ago by Seamus Monahan. And I would love to see if the Attorney General would take a look at that analysis done by him. He was pretty specific, and he worked me over, and then he worked the chair over, and he provided statutory proof. So I don't know that Gene is going to be any more pliable than Mr. Seamus Monahan was. But it's certainly worth another look. And then if the opinion comes back the same, really, if we could just get a vehicle for some statutory changes, that would be one quick one. There was a suggestion about a rule change, and when, this is not posted, so we can't talk about it, but I just would say that the rule change environment went, we would have to give up three rules in order to get a new rule. That was under the executive order by the previous administration, and that was codified in law. And it actually might be more advantageous to have a vehicle and make statutory changes. So that would be another, but more discussion, Mr. Tapscott, can only benefit people who have not yet heard and are making decisions on continuing education. So.
Agreed. Yeah. So let's absolutely put that on the next agenda for a more thorough discussion. Anything else that we would like to add to the future agenda for discussion?
This is Board Member DeRuth, and I don't know if it's worth it or what the avenue is, but coming up today with our one of our licensees is the renewal. You know, if there's any opportunity for that or what that would look like if they're applying after so long of going to school.
Yeah, I think that's worth discussing. And I think that, again, that kind of falls into the rules and statutes land that desperately need to be updated, that we've been wanting to do a statutory review for quite some time. We just need somebody to do it with us. Anything else? All right. Well, before we conclude, I would like to publicly acknowledge and congratulate board staff Tony Wilcox for another trip around the sun. And we wish you very many, many more. We adore you. We appreciate all the hard work that you do for the board. We know that you don't sleep. We know that Director Overton doesn't sleep. I'm not sure about Investigator Elson. I think maybe he sleeps a little bit more. But we do appreciate the entire board staff. Our next scheduled meeting is going to be Monday, April 24th, 2023 at 9 a.m. to be held digitally. And that concludes this meeting. Meeting is adjourned.